And as you've been hearing, there are plenty of headlines in the papers this morning about the Tánaiste raising the issue of cross-border travel, given the higher rates of COVID infection there. While a spokesman for the Taoiseach said there are no plans to stop travel to the north. For more on this, I'm joined by our northern editor, Tommy Gorman. Now, Tommy, this question was raised by the Tánaiste at the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party meeting. How much of a political hot potato is the question of cross-border travel?
I don't think that Leo Varadkar was suggesting that the border would be sealed at a time when Ireland's ace card is Joe Biden in the White House talking about the need in a Brexit situation to keep the border open. I don't think any politician south of the border would stand up and say, oh, we have to close the place off because of COVID. I think what Leo Varadkar was doing was he was reflecting the obvious. The rates here on you, yesterday there were 443 people in hospital, 31 of them in ICU. There were 7 new deaths. There were 533 new cases. Now, that was high because there was a lag from the day before. So that last figure is probably artificially high. But Leo Varadkar reflected the absolute truth that the mortality rates and the infection rates here are much higher than south of the border. And what he was also, I suppose, indicating was that if that situation continues, with Christmas coming up and with Dublin Airport going to be a funnel for a lot of people coming back to the island, that you could have a problem. But I think what wasn't reflected in the coverage and maybe in the comments is that from tonight, Northern Ireland is going to go into an intense period of lockdown for a fortnight. And there's a general expectation that those figures will change.
Of course, Northern Ireland doing that tomorrow, as the Cabinet likely tomorrow to be announcing the easing of restrictions here. It's not exactly the walking in tandem that medical experts have been calling for.
No, phase two has been a mess because it has been a case of regulation light up here with the very obvious consequences. But I think there was a moment of truth last week when the DUP as well as got on line and got on board with everybody else to say we have to tighten things. And I'd say it'll be interesting to see what is the impact of that 2 weeks of tightening. And I suppose there is a fear, maybe not fully grounded, that when Northern Ireland is locked down, you'll see people flocking south of the border to do their shopping, etc., etc., or to use the facilities, to use the pubs, or to use the restaurants if they're let open. I don't think the pubs will be let open. But I think because of the price factor, you won't see a huge element of that. And I just don't think it's anywhere realistic, or I think intended by Leo Varadkar, that there would be a suggestion that Northerners living in the south will be told, well, you can't go up there because that's infected at a much higher level than in the south. I just don't think that's a reality.
And we had Sinn Féin's Martin Kenny earlier in the programme saying that moves to restrict border travel, they simply wouldn't work.
On these issues, Sinn Féin itself has to be careful because it's part of a government here that had a less restrictive policy at one stage in recent times. Michelle O'Neill was talking about an opening up that, and then she had to sort of roll back on that. And in some respects, they were outmaneuvered by the SDLP that was more clear-cut in its lockdown policy. And I also think that there was possibly some blowback for Sinn Féin in the south when you saw, for instance, the higher infection rates in border areas. And people were saying, is part of that problem being caused by Northern Ireland? So this is very, very sensitive territory. But I think there is an opportunity over the next 2 weeks to actually see more of an alignment. You'll probably see Northern Ireland's figures coming down because of the lockdown and maybe a slight risk or more of numbers in the south beginning to rise as you ease your measures.
And what about the hospitals and how they're coping with the current spike in numbers in Northern Ireland, Tommy? Because they have been under enormous pressure this past few weeks.
What has happened with the whole medical service here is the concentration on dealing with the virus challenge means that the waiting lists, Sonia, for other procedures, including some cancer care, That has been put to one side. That has suffered big time. The waiting lists have gone further up. And remember, even before the virus, Northern Ireland had got the highest waiting lists in the UK. But as things stand at the moment, the hospitals are able to cope. 443 cases of COVID-19 in hospital would be the equivalent of over 1,000 in the south. So you can see it's quite a challenge, but it has managed to cope. And there has been no suggestion in recent times that people from the north would be brought down to the south, to be brought into the southern system. I don't think that's a runner, and I don't think it will be unless things take a really, really bad turn.
And finally, Tommy, just a quick question on Brexit, but I see the UK Chancellor Rishi Sunak, he's been saying once again that he still thinks there's a good chance there's a deal. Of course, Brussels is still waiting to see what way Boris Johnson is going to jump on the deal or no deal question. Do you think there might be some pressure coming from the British Treasury to avoid the consequences of no deal, given the stunning figures that Rishi Sunak was talking about in terms of the contraction of their economy yesterday?
Anya, because of the busy news cycle, I don't think Sunak's comments yesterday when he stood in the House of Commons, I don't think they got a lot of attention. But it was absolutely mind-blowing what he stated. He talked about their level of borrowing being higher than, say, during the First or the Second World War, the highest in 300 years. Can you imagine Leo Varadkar, the straight shooter, or Micheál Martin standing up in the Dáil today and saying, because of, you know, the money we've had to spend on the virus, the pay of teachers, of guards, of fire officers, of civil servants is going to be frozen for the next 12 months. That's what Sunak did yesterday. Now, given that level of economic challenge, it's a no-brainer for the British government. If they don't do a deal on Brexit, if they bring the economic consequences of no deal and all the uncertainty that would bring on top of the virus challenge, I think they would be condemning Boris Johnson to 3 years of hell as Prime Minister. And I think it's inevitable they'll cut a deal in the next week.
Tommy, thank you for that. That's our Northern editor, Tommy Gorman, there.